You're listening to SBS News.
Who is an older person in Australia nowadays? The Australian Institute of Health and Welfare classifies older people as those aged 65 or over. The Institute's figures show in 2017 there were 3.8 million Australians aged over 65. That is about 15% of the population. By 2057, that's expected to increase to about 22% of the population. The latest Australian Bureau of Statistics figures suggest that by 2042, more than a million Australians will be aged over 85. Associate Professor Nicholas Sherbin is with the Australian National University Centre for Research on Ageing, Health and Wellbeing. He says there needs to be a more focused approach to effectively cater for these demographic changes.
A lot of good things are happening in Australia, but I think we have to be more strategic. We need to really plan now how we're going to adapt our workforce, our environment, our health system together, not as separate part of a puzzle. Otherwise, we're going to be caught out.
Many local government areas in Australia have an ageing population plan looking at areas such as health, services, transport and community development. But while good planning is occurring at all levels of government, there are concerns there is not enough coordination between the various departments and agencies. Dr. Liz Allen is a demographer at the Australian National University.
The portfolios that sit disparately across ministers and departments need to be reconnected, so that we have education portfolio speaking and working in conjunction with the health portfolio, speaking in conjunction with housing and transport and infrastructure with regard to maintaining and ensuring quality of life in Australia.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison recently voiced his intention to cut Australia's permanent migration intake by about 30,000 people in response to what he says is public concern over congested cities. The immigration cap has been set at 190,000 since 2012 to 2013, but for several years the actual intake has been closer to 160,000 permanent arrivals, made up largely of skilled and family visas. Dr. Liz Allen says immigration has the potential to offset some of the consequences of an ageing population by providing workers who can then contribute to essential services through the tax system. She believes more infrastructure planning is the key to handling congestion, not cutting immigration numbers.
We have a world-renowned migration scheme that most definitely is assisting in offsetting the adverse consequences of an ageing population by boosting the workforce. It also delays the ageing process. Definitely migrants are already halfway along, if you like, or less than halfway along their life. So they are already in the ageing process, but they still have an impact in dampening the ageing structure of the population dynamic.
There are also calls to build agility into Australia's housing stock to better cater for older people. Urban planning can play a key role in minimising social isolation by using green spaces, access to public transport and walkability in future housing developments. Retirement villages are one option for older people, but Glenn Searle, Associate Professor of Planning at the University of Sydney, says there is also a parallel movement of people wanting to stay in their homes or downsizing. He says over the past 20 years, there has been an increase in the number of smaller dwellings like townhouses, which are better meeting the needs of older people. But he says accessibility to services still remains a problem for many older people.
The outer suburbs, these problems are sort of really compounded. If you can walk for a couple of hundred metres, there's generally not a shop or local service available within that distance. So, you know, as people get older, they're sort of forced to keep driving in the outer suburbs, and there comes a point at which, you know, a lot of people, maybe in their 80s and 90s, are just not able to drive anymore, so they can get completely isolated. So that's the problem with low-density planning in outer suburbs, that it doesn't sort of really allow for that ageing effect of not being able to drive.
Associate Professor Nicola Sherbin says society needs to change the way it views ageing. Mrs. Sherbin says chronic disease often starts developing in the 40s, and while ageing and death is a natural part of life, strategies such as exercise and diet can affect how rapidly or badly ageing happens. With chronic disease likely to place enormous pressure on health services, Mrs. Sherbin says working for longer can be one of those strategies, except for some people in physically demanding jobs. But he warns employers would need to be flexible to get the best out of this segment of the population.
Employers will have to cater for all the workers who might have slightly different needs but who have a lot to contribute. And here we might think about more flexible work hours, maybe more breaks in the middle of the day if they want them, environments where people have technological assistance. Unless we do this, people will drop out of the workforce. And we also know that this leads typically to poorer health outcomes.
Census data released in 2017 reveal the number of over 65s in the Australian workforce increased from 9% to 14% in a decade, with the largest increase seen among women, prompting calls for more ongoing education and training for older people. But the ANU's Dr. Liz Allen says ageism remains rife in the Australian workforce, affecting older people's ability to land jobs. And she points out there's a lot to be gained for every individual by addressing the matter now.
Better approach to policy and practice to make it very clear that that older people are very much needed in the workforce. We have this kind of inbuilt, inherent sociological off, on and off switch that once we reach a particular point, we're no longer needed. And our software, so to speak, can no longer be updated, and so we're redundant. That's not the case. We need to move beyond that and stop this discrimination against our future selves.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.